I find it really annoying, and I feel like this is one of my challenges when I'm recording, because I don't have, see, I'm not going to go into the intricacies of how I record, but like it's very annoying when I press record and I've been talking for more years and years just to find out what I'm saying is not even being recorded. That's what happened to me. Like I had such good, oh my days, I want to cry. I had such good like vibe earlier on. I was giving you guys, the gist was flowing, we're there, we're happy together. All I mean to say, like I actually stopped recording because I couldn't remember. There was a point where I was like, talk, and I was trying to explain something to you guys. I forgot to say, I was like, okay, let me play the recording again and pick like where I stopped. That's what I was trying to say. I've talked for like seven, tell me why. I spoke for 7 minutes of nothing, of absolute nothing. And it's very annoying because now I don't think I can get that vibe again. And I don't know who I'm ranting to really, because I don't know if I'm going to upload this part. But yeah, I'm so pissed. But anyway, guys, welcome back to Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl. I'm so pissed right now. I was, oh my days. I have the mind to just stop this recording and do it again next time when I feel like the energy is there. But let me see. Now I feel like I'm reading from a script, and I don't really like doing scripts for my own personal like podcast, except when what I'm saying is really intricate, like really fact sensitive or like complicated or something, and then I'll do like a little script. And it's not really a script, it's more like pointers so I don't derail. But when I'm having this kind of like venting or general gist with you guys, I don't like to script my podcast. But yeah, this is me totally winging it. Anyways, so now you see, oh god, okay, so essentially I was telling you guys how, like, you know, I actually recorded, if you follow my Instagram and you follow the podcast, if you listen to the Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl, I told you guys several times, probably not on the podcast, more on the Insta, that I recorded for you guys a while back, but I never got to uploading anything because I wasn't really in a good place. I almost died twice between December and now. And see, it does something to you. I've really not been in a space of people. I feel like I'm quite depressed. Like, I don't know. And it's really annoying when you're, I don't know if you guys can relate, but if you're somebody that suffers from depression and you're living in an African home, it can be quite frustrating because as much as you're not supposed to wallow in your depression, I believe that you should have a time to just feel what you're feeling, engage with that emotion before you, like, at least let it go a bit. If you're someone that always, like, this is something that your norm, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But the thing that happens when I live in an African home is you're not allowed to feel the emotion. So you have to bottle it up and keep bottling it up until you snap. And because, like, if you don't want to get up and stuff like that, you know, your parents will be like, stand up, go and do this, go and do that. Like, you know, you, especially if you have to go to work and all these things. But anyway, sure. I haven't really been in any crazy spots where I need to upload, and I felt like it was a bit too raw compared to like this cleaner version, I guess, of what I'm sharing with you guys. That one was a bit too, god, I cried on that podcast episode. I might get around to posting it if my depression hits more and I just don't have content. When I don't have content and I really want to post, is what I'm trying to say, I might just upload it for you guys. But I'm just gonna give you guys a little bit of a recap into what I've been going through. So for those of you who don't know, I have a chronic illness that I'm dealing with. I've dealt with this chronic illness all my life, and this is actually the second time in my whole life, okay, third time in my whole life I'm saying this publicly. The first time was at a story exchange, and it was a very small group. I think we're like five. We're five. So, and honestly, I don't want to talk about that. I think I'll talk about it later on. But it left me very vulnerable. And a bit like, for some particulars of the event, I didn't really like how it left me. But it had nothing to do with the event, more so the people. And this is no shade to the people, because they were very nice people. My friends were there. But I don't know. It wasn't the people. God, I want to say it without saying it, because if I say it, I'm not really in the mood for a confrontation. And I'm not really in the mood for, like, mean girl stuff today. So I'm not going to say it. But it wasn't the story exchange itself. Like, it was the setup and other things. But anyways, that was the first time. The second time I said on Instagram, and I felt like in the beginning I didn't mean to say it. I made a reel, and in my reel, because it was this song, you know, here's to good people, good vibes, you know, great friends. That song, it was trending for a while on Insta, so I used that song for my reel, and somebody tested me, because I actually just made a nice reel. I'm not a type of person that shows my vulnerability. I don't know how to do those mushy stuff. I don't know how to do those mushy stuff, so even when I posted it, I remember asking my sister, I was like, is it okay, should I take it out? Is it too much, like, you know, sharing, like, hospital pictures, that really isn't really me. But I did the reel according to the song, and bad vibes. There's one part in the song that were, like, bad times and whatnot, so I used a video from when I was sick, and a picture. I snapped a picture because I was so bored at the hospital, and I was in pain. I was fighting for my life, and this was like 3 days, because the first 3 days I didn't even know where the fuck I was. I was just waking up to take like opioids, go back to sleep. Like I have no memories apart from me fighting the first 2 days. Like, I really didn't know where I was. So the third day I was getting a little bit better. I was getting more awake time. Because the particulars of my illness is such that you're only conscious like few times when it hits. Anywho. So, well, I think the third or fourth or fifth day I was like taking pictures and stuff. The last day was when I did that video. And because I had to leave the hospital, I don't want to get into that hospital stuff today. I had to reserve that for another time. Bismillah. I just got up from my bed. I have to reserve that for another time because I feel like I know. Thank you. I have to reserve that for another time. So the real cause is because the bright light. Anywho, I have to reserve that for another time because I have a lot of things to say about falling sick in Nigeria and the healthcare system generally and how they treat you and stuff. But I took that video on the last day because I was far from being okay. Like, I was dying of pain. But I had to leave the hospital for some reasons that I would share with you guys when I feel comfortable enough to do that. So I had to leave the hospital and I was in so much pain. I was like, oh my God. Like, if you have chronic illness or you have an illness generally that you suffer from that really affects you, you would know the ugly truth about chronic illness. And I don't want to talk so much about it on this episode. I would leave it for the next episode probably. Or I don't know when next I feel, you know, vulnerable enough. Or comfortable enough in my vulnerability to share that with you guys. But anyways, so I did that video on that day. And let me just tell you people. It wasn't a good feeling that let it video. So I posted it on my reel. Or in my reel. And somebody tested me, like somebody legit tested me, and I was like, what the fuck? So I had to go to my caption, and I felt the need to go to my caption and post that this is what it is. I didn't put that picture up for bands, like I didn't put it up to get your sympathy or your support. I didn't put it up because I wanted you guys to pity me, and please, before you come and say, oh, you are sick, but you can take a video, like, please, I'm not the one. I will come for your bloody jugular. Like, I'm literally going to come for all your family members. And don't even tell me, because I'm warning you. Basically, that's what I basically kind of said on my status. I seem to say that status. Caption. And ergo, I basically just announced that I have this thing that I do. I'm struggling with, and it felt really nice because in as much as I went there very defensive, and I did say I was going to be defensive because I would not have an idiot come to my caption and tell me I'm not nice. Don't come to my caption and tell me nonsense, because I say it among your little friends. You know, I don't have to know about it. You can gossip about that, it's fine. But what you won't do is come to my caption and come and tell me shit, because you know. So I said I was going to be very defensive about it, and I do apologize for that. Please keep your bullshit to yourself. Nobody gives a fuck.
And basically, I don't feel the need to. Should I really tell you guys? I was like, thank you to all my people, my tribe, my support system, blah, blah, blah. I'm a chronic illness survivor, and I have never said that publicly before. It feels weird to admit it. My pain is not a joke. I did not do it. I did not add it to my video for laughs or support or sympathy. For the first time in my life, I documented my pain after 3 straight days of almost going through death's door. Yes, I would be defensive about it. So if you comment stupidly, I will come for your neck. Look and pass. And if you have nothing positive or good to say, pass and go. And I'm telling you, in as much as I went there very defensive, people showed me ton of support. Like, I don't know how to explain. But, like, all of you guys actually took time to message me privately. You know, like, some people message me privately sweetest messages. Like, sharing with me a piece of their soul, their personal experiences, going through what I go through. Even though they had no idea exactly what it is, but, like, their experiences as a chronic illness, you know, survivor, or a family member of someone with chronic illness, or just private messages, you know, telling me how strong I am, and all these sort of positive messages, and how in awe of me they were, and just some just praying for me and everything. And then the ones that commented on my comments under that post, and shared so much love with me. Oh my God, I love you guys so much. Oh, like, I can't explain how I felt. Like, how I felt made me feel like I wish I did this sooner. Because you guys, you know that episode in Vampire Diaries, I think towards the end of the final season, where Bonnie was trying to cast a spell and she didn't have enough strength, and her Gram's spirit showed herself to Bonnie, and she still didn't have enough strength, and the whole witches of whatever spirits, like, they were like 12 of witches behind her, like, obviously dead witches, but yeah, 12 dead witches, like, supports behind her. The way you would feel if you're in that situation with, like, all these people behind you, knowing that these people are for you, like, I felt so much strength. Like, so much strength. Some people that knew my number personally called me to, you know, talk to me. And even people that I know, but, like, would never ever said pain to, actually messaged me, you know, sharing their support and just praying for me, or just saying, see, I'm so happy to, like, I'm so happy to know you guys, and I'm so grateful. Like, I have no words, you know. That feeling is unlike anything I've ever felt before. And I love you guys so much for it. I said I was not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. Don't make me cry again. But anyways, and then the second time I almost died between December and now was, like, maybe 2 weeks Friday. On, yeah, 2 weeks ago Friday or 3 weeks ago Friday. I was going to Nwarimi. For those of you that live in Kaduna, you know exactly where that is. Trust me when I tell you, I believe in Kadara, which is basically Kadar, and that means destiny, you know. And because I'm a Muslim, I believe in destiny, and I really believe in God's plan. If anybody believes in God's plan, it will be me, because I've had a lot of experiences in life generally that has proved to me, like, there's a plan somewhere, and, you know, something was meant to happen and everything. Even when it's, and, you know, sometimes I feel like people just accept that when it's good, but even when it's bad, just believe that, you know, even this was planned. And alhamdulillah for this bad experience. I don't know how to explain to you guys why I'm thanking God, but I don't know. I don't know. So I usually wouldn't take a bike. Like, since I fell sick the first time and got admitted and discharged and everything, I'm not the kind of person I'm the kind of person that takes a bike, because I don't give two fucks what you think about me. But, like, since that time, I really haven't taken a bike. Not because I was feeling too high and mighty for it, because some people don't take a bike because it's not ladylike, or, yeah, it's not the class, whatever. I do everything I do in life for comfortability and practicality. Every single thing I do, except once in a while. Even my flex is comfortability and practicality. If I feel like, oh, today's a princess mood, I do that. If I feel need to be fancy and classy, I do that. Like, I never put people in the peripheral of who I'm doing a thing. So that's just who I am. But I didn't take a bike all these days, not because of anything. It was just because I almost died. So, yeah, I'm going to take the bolt wherever I can. And I wasn't really going out since falling sick and being at home. Like, how many times did I go out? I literally went out like 4 times before I resumed back to work. So anyways, that day, I was going to take NAPEP. For those who don't know what that is, it's a tricycle. It's the most common means of transportation within Kaduna City, except when you go to the outskirts a bit and then you start seeing taxis. But I'm not entering a taxi in Kaduna because the middle of Kaduna, in the Kaduna City, I feel like they're going to take my ass. So yeah, I'm not doing that. So I wanted to take a NAPEP and I stopped every single NAPEP. Like, I stopped with maybe, no exaggeration, I believe that I stopped over maybe 11 NAPEP, if not even 12 on that day. And all of them were not going where I was going. I literally was like, all of them were not going. All of them didn't want to go. None of them wanted to go where I was going. None of them were interested in that. Somebody even stopped when I was going closer to where I was. And he was like, what did he even say? How sad? He was basically like, which basically means that there's a problem or something. So I was thinking maybe they're running away from Castella or something. Maybe that was the reason why they weren't going to where I was going. Anywho, I've been standing there for a hot minute, you know. So many bikes actually wanted to take me, but I was like, no, I'm just going to wait. But I sat there for a minute, so I was like, I'm going to take the bike. The bike might look like I've even maybe taken him in the past. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take a bike. Let me just quickly go. I was wearing pants. Another thing that made me to take the bike was because underneath what I was wearing like pants. And everybody knows trousers are the most easiest thing to take a bike with. So anyways, I took the bike. And for you know, I had an accident. I hit my head. The other guy was bleeding. When I tell you, I've never seen blood gush out of someone's nose before. It was like an open tap. And he was an elderly man, so I feel bad for him. I've been thinking about him recently. I don't know who to ask, but I wish I can know if he survived and if he was okay. But alhamdulillah, like, he was in a bad way. Because he hit his head, I hit my head, I hit my body. Up to today, my tailbone is on fire. Like, my ass is paining me. Like, I can't sit down a certain way. My neck is swollen. It feels like there's food in the middle of my throat. Like, there's a lot of hiccups with how I am feeling right now. But anyway, alhamdulillah. I take it that it was meant to happen for some reason. I don't know. But alhamdulillah. I walked away from it. I actually walked. And I remember, like, walking on the road because people were asking me, like, am I okay? Hope I didn't break it. Because they took the other guy to the hospital. And I was like, I'm fine. Somebody asked me, I was like, I don't feel fine. I'm not okay. But I wasn't really interested in having a weird random conversation with a stranger on the road and telling him about how my ass is on fire because the impact of me falling off the bike. I'm a thick girl. I fell off from the bike. Well, I'm not that. Yeah, but anyways, you have an idea. I fell off from the bike. I hit my ass on the floor. Hit my whole right side on the floor. My head, my arm, my rib, everything. So, like, I'm not bleeding profusely. How am I going to tell, oh, random stranger man? Oh, actually, my bum is killing me. My rib is killing me. My right breast is, like, I don't want to have that conversation. So I walked away. When I walked away, I walked, like, a few paces. And I called my sister and I cried because I just got in an accident. Like, even if I walked away, do you know how that, I just felt, I walked away, but I wasn't fine. So I cried on the phone and she was like, I should come back right now. I don't know. I don't want to go into the story, but yeah. That was the second time that I feel like it shook my fire. So, yeah, if anything falling sick has done, I feel like it has given me a bit of a perspective. I have never been that girl that knew exactly. Like, it's not as if, like, 30 is looking at me in the face, but I still don't know what I want to do with my life. Like, I know what I want to be in. For example, I can say that, okay, I want to be in the entertainment industry, but I don't know if I want to sing, if I want to act. That doesn't apply to me. I'm not saying I want to be in the entertainment industry. But in my own industry that I'm looking at, that I want to be, that I feel more comfortable in, I don't know my niche yet. I feel like I do, but I don't know. As you can see, I'm still sorting that out. And I really didn't think I'd be here when I was younger. Although, I've never been one of those kids that, you know, say, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. And, like, they knew for sure. I studied law. I'm a lawyer. Currently, I work in a firm. In a law firm, I go to court, I do all the nice shindig things. But I feel like I feel a sense of social justice? Obviously I do. I'm human and I'm an empath.
So I get that. But I don't think I picked law because of the environment necessarily. I feel like I picked law because in Nigeria, what else are you going to do? I'm an art student. No offense, but in Nigeria, as an art student, you don't really have so much like options. You know, if you're not a journalist or mass communication or law, it's not as if there are not other cool courses that you could do that could really change our lives, because God knows we need those courses. It is the fact that Nigeria doesn't have the means to make use of you in such a way that you would benefit from it mentally in getting good jobs and have money and live a comfortable life. You get, I feel like more than anything, it's that, because to be fair, like, really, what are you going to do if you don't do journalism? So I feel like one of those things really affected me, and I picked law because, yeah, there wasn't really an option. And you don't tell your African dad that you want to be a podcaster as a job, or like you want to be influencer, or what, you want to be script writer. Like, that don't make any sense to them, because they want you to have a white collar job, and they want you to have a job that they can use you to brag. Even mass comm is not seen as a course in my house until recently. So yeah, I do that now, but honestly, I feel like falling sick, almost dying, having an accident, all those things really made me realize something. Like, I really could have died. Like, my sickness is so bad that I really could have died. And at the end of the day, you know, people are really nice, giving me supportive messages. It's, don't take my talk now as me not being appreciative, because honestly, I love you guys for it. But at the end of the day, I feel like nobody can truly understand what I'm going through, except somebody that probably go through the same thing. But ultimately, people will tell you how sorry they are, how supportive they are, how they love you and everything, and they'll be there for you. But ultimately, even if those people actually pull up for you, I'm the one in pain. I'm the one whose life is almost gone. And allow alarm, God knows when everybody's gonna die, yeah. But at the end of the day, like, do you get where I'm trying to go? So it really just brought life into perspective for me. And I feel like, yeah, it's time to be a reckless Gen Z. Well, I'm not Gen Z, but honestly, it's time to channel some Gen Z, because I don't think I can do this for much longer. You know, I don't think I really can. And I feel like I'm okay with that at this point. I never thought that would be, because even when I say that, I'm panicking about what am I going to do in my life and all those other things. But ultimately, I just have to put myself first. And honestly, that's the take home from this podcast. You have to put yourself first. This is not me challenging Katerina Petrova, but you really have to pick yourself, because nobody is going to. I mean, they can try, some will try, but ultimately nobody's going to. And do you guys know what this sickness made me do? Even though I don't know if I regret it. I don't think I even think of regret. It's not true. It made me text my ex. One of those days, yeah, I was... See, I don't know if it's in this recording or the other one that got deleted. I told you guys about how, like, I left the hospital even after getting better. I think it's in the other one. So I'm going to say it again. And if you've heard it before, if it turns out to be in this one, hear it again. I left the hospital early because, like I told you guys, I might not have told you guys, I wasn't okay when I left the hospital. Ergo me doing that video I did on the last day, because I was just like, God, why me? I'm not really that strong. You made me your strongest warrior, but I really want to be a soft life girl. You know, I was really feeling bad for myself. And I was just like, this is, so yeah, I did the video. Anyway, so I didn't leave the hospital when I was supposed to leave, because of some other stuff about, you know, Nigeria's bushy healthcare system. And so when I came home, I was still sick for a week. Like, when I mean sick, I was like, somebody was coming to give me illegal injections. Maybe, allegedly, because, yeah, well, allegedly. And I was having some injections at home. Somebody was coming to, like, have a nurse-ish pharmacist girlfriend who used to come to my house to give me injections and everything. And I was taking meds, I was taking Agbo, I was taking... See, everything. I was just taking everything because, yeah, I was not okay still. So one of those days, night, I was just like... And he just popped up. Like, he literally just popped up. And I was like, is this a sign? Am I going to die? Is God telling me to, like, fix my stories? Because, yeah. So, I did that. That's what sickness make you dry. I don't know why I just randomly spoke about it in this podcast. But anyways, I think I'm done with this episode. I'm trying to limit what I say because I want to say it in other episodes. But happy new year to you guys. It's quite late. It's about to be February. I know what February means. Farida's birthday. That excitement just came from nowhere. But anyways, I've been thinking about her birthday since January. I'm a weirdo. But anyways, yeah, so I'm gonna go now. This is just a, I don't know what to call it. I'm not going to necessarily say it's the next season because I ended off last season as a broken record, promising you guys another episode, But this is gonna be the beginning of another season, but not the ending of one. Take it how you take it. I'm not going to do a big, oh my god, season three, yay, but it's really the beginning of season three and the ending of season two. So I'm just gonna leave it in between. I hope you guys have enjoyed my rant. This is just me saying hello. Hope you guys are doing well. Anyways, oh, I also did a rap. I don't know. Again, I want to share with you guys stuff that I think I have recorded before. But you know how I told you it didn't get recorded? But then and my head is telling me I've spoken about this before. But yeah, I didn't do a rap myself. Spotify did it for me. And it turns out you guys are listening to me from a lot of weird places in the world. Not weird, but like I love you guys. And yeah, also few of you made me oh my god, few of you guys really love me because you made me your number one podcast. I'm so excited. But like I was number one podcast for a lot of people, which means 10 people actually, according to Spotify, and you guys make me relevant in that department. Anyways, I'm becoming weird, so I'm gonna leave right now. I'm high on life, seeing as I almost lost mine. But I have to take a book from my page. Oh, I have to take a page from my book and just do what is best for you. I always say that I never do that, but this year I like to think that I'm gonna put myself first finally. Also, actually, since we used to do a What's Hot, is that what we call the What's Hot episode thing? The thing that's giving us tired Nigerian girl vibes is this currency thing and this INEC thing. Oh, and also, why do people talk to you like you're... I'm not a child, you know. But, like, I don't know if it's my voice that gives people the impression that I'm just a gullible, you know, I'm a gullible girl that they can talk to anyhow. Because I really put a man in his place over this weekend. Tell me why I employed your service. I don't know if that's the grammar, but I asked you to do something for me. And you're talking to me very rudely because you don't know who I am. Like, why do people do that? Bismillah, and I feel like it's men that usually do that, you know. They feel like they can talk to you anyhow because you're a woman. Linga, you don't know me from shit. You don't know who I am. You don't know who I can be. Ha. But yeah, that's what's annoying me right now. This INEC thing. Although, yeah. Anyways, they moved, so my polling unit is literally opposite my house. But I had to go and collect my PVC in somewhere very far. Not really far, but far. And I wasn't able to go because I've told you guys, like, I've been falling sick to the hospital, to accident, to hospital again. So I really didn't have the time. Please, I went there on Friday and these people have moved back to headquarters, which is, like, far, far. But, yeah. That's annoying me, but not really like that. The one that's annoying me the most is this currency thing. First of all, you had to make the money very ugly. Like, why is my 1,000 naira look like purple blue? You know when you have blue, big biro? That's pen, for those of you guys that are not Nigerians. Blue pen. You know when you were a child or something and you put pen inside your bag, the original big biro, and it pours. So it's pour in your whole pocket, inside your pocket, and you're cleaning it, and it's one when you've cleaned, that became one faded kind of blue. It looked like that. I'm telling you, that 1,000 naira looked like that. If you're a Nigerian, you had a childhood, you know what I mean. If you don't understand, then you're bougie as fuck. But anyways, it has been giving us stress. I have no cash. I don't know how I'm going to find myself to the office tomorrow. And yeah. Basically, no money. If anything, help me to save my money. But it's really a problem. Nobody has the new notes. They're shouting, oh, they're not going to collect the old notes. Yeah. But there's no new notes anywhere. Even when you go to the bank, they give you old notes. Why is the ATM dispensing old currency? Makes no sense. And how many are we in this country? You really expect all of us in the bloody country to have new notes in 10 days? Are you forging kidding me? Somebody asked me once, why am I tired, Nigerian girl? The question is, why aren't you tired? You don't be tired of this country? No? Okay. Yeah, I'll push yes for it. But anyways, see you guys on the next episode. Well, I'll see you guys. You guys hear from me in the next episode. Have a nice life, y'all. Good night.